Don't you want to go to that land? 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 Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. So don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. There's nothing but love in that land. But joy in that land, there's nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land, where I'm bound, there's nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land, where I'm bound. Savior in that land. Oh, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Yes, I've got a Savior in that land. Oh, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. So don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Where I'm bound, where I'm bound.
Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your loving kindness and long suffering. You care for all of us, and you care for the entire world. And we are blown away by that. It's hard for us to fathom as we are frustrated by others and impatient with others and see others acting wickedly, and yet you're patient. So we praise you, God, because you're so worthy of all honor and glory. And we look forward tonight to looking at your word, increasing our faith, trusting you more, and magnifying your power and righteousness and glory. We lift you up through Jesus' name. Amen.
Hold on a second. We've got to do the Lord's Supper. If you weren't able to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it is available in the classroom off to the right. And now we'll have a song. Page 869, We're Marching to Zion. 869. If you have it, let us sing.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround. Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing, never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. And we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. And we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
We will now be dismissed to our classes.
Good evening. We had some sunshine out there, you know. It seemed like we've been needing the rain, but I also like the sunshine. You can't have both of them. You have to give up one to get the other. So, has anybody in the last 2 weeks in this audience had your TVs tuned to NBC? Yeah. Olympics. I'm going to jump off of our subject of getting into Proverbs and the Gospels a little bit. I just was thinking as I was watching the Olympics, I didn't get to watch the first week being at camp, and I was glad to be at camp, but I hated that. I just love watching peak performers who really, they're not going for money. I mean, a couple of them may get something, but they're just going to represent their country. And as I was watching some of their stories, and maybe some of you have, there we go, high schoolers are coming back now. Must not have had to, weren't quite tuned in when AR was up here giving it a little instruction. But that's all right, we're glad to have you back. So, and you're awake now, blood's flowing, it's supposed to pump blood back to your heart, and it was a good exercise. But I love watching them. And as I was watching some of their stories, really I was thinking, some of them are running for different motivational reasons, you know, and maybe you could call to mind if I was go around and list some of them. And so I just grabbed a couple of the pictures of some of the athletes to get our conversation started of kind of maybe what, when you look at these athletes, we're going to look at Hebrews 12. You can open your Bibles there. And maybe before we even talk about these athletes, let's read that. Let's set a biblical text, set our conversation before we lose our thoughts on sports. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I'll read that. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I'll never forget Tommy preached a lesson on that. Get rid of the sin that's holding you down. It's been years ago, but I'll never forget that passage ringing in my mind. Get rid of what's holding you back, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I've even preached from that text in throughout the book of Hebrews chapter 12. But think about the idea, spiritually speaking, about who it is that we're running for. And we'll come back to that conversation, but just to kind of think about some of these athletes, who's this guy running for? He's running for who? I mean, he is about him. Comes across the line looking back at the cameras and the video. I mean, he's fast, and I hate the fact that he's the best because he is the best. And he knows he's the best, and he lets us know that he's the best. And I love people that can perform and can win. And nobody likes the guy who just, and I mean, I've probably had the same struggle as him, but when he gets in the camera, what's he say? I'm the best. I'm always the best. Always will. No, you won't. Somebody's going to win in 4 or 5 years from now. You know, they're still going to talk about him, and he's going to love it. You know, he says he wants us to turn our TVs off and say, wow. You know, well, that's what I did. When I watched him run, I just think, how can he be that just dominating in a worldwide competition? But who's Usain Bolt, he's running for Jamaica, but, man, he likes to run for Usain Bolt. And you see that, you know, he's charismatic. And they've said he's really one of the first athletes since Carl Lewis to kind of bring real media attention to track and field. He's unbelievably fast. But he's running for himself. Let's see if we can get this. There we go. What about this guy? Oscar Pistorius. I mean, I didn't even know about him. Being at camp the whole week before, I hadn't heard anything about him. I came home and I'm like, what is this guy doing here? How did he get into the Olympics? Who's he running for? What are some people you might think that are benefiting by watching him perform? Amputees. People who have challenges in their life. Not just amputees. When I looked at him, I got chills. Just when he was standing out there, I thought, I have no reason to gripe about my life. If he can get to worldwide competitive arena, having both of his legs cut off from the knee down, surely I can get up and do something with my life. And I was just thinking about everything, my family, my spiritual life, business, just physical. He's running. I think he's running for those people. He's running for himself as well. But, man, I benefited from him running, thinking. And then I began to think of Paul and him talking about having a thorn in his flesh. But what did he do with the thorn in his flesh? Did he give up or did Paul run the race? He ran the race. And as I just started thinking about all these spiritual applications as I watched the Olympics and thought, man, there's a lesson here, and I'm going to jump off Proverbs and jump on this. He is running for all kinds of people. People are benefiting from him running. If you go look him up on the internet, there's pictures and YouTube videos of him running with other little kids who are double amputees. And what do you think that's doing for them about just starting at age 5 and looking at life ahead and thinking, he's in the Olympics. Surely I can get a normal job and take care of my family. I mean, it's motivating people to run the same race. And then you think about this guy that was really impressed with him. I love this guy, Karani James. And they showed his story. He is running for a Grenada. I mean, he is a countryman. He wants to bring attention to his country. He goes back and walks in the streets of his country. He's running for his country. And what I love about him, and I saw his just him and the little blurb they did about him, I thought this might be what he did, but I didn't expect to see that. And when Oscar Pistorius finished and James had ran against him, you remember he went immediately to him and said, man, I want your name tag. That's going on my wall. It motivated Karani James to think, man, he's here where I am. And I loved that scene. And then even after he handed it to him, you probably have seen some of this stuff, but you know, they embraced each other. And I just began to think about Christianity. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't I supposed to run the race? And aren't you supposed to run the race? And aren't we supposed to benefit from one from another? In this case, you've got someone who is physically weaker, and you've got another man who's physically completely able. They're both running the same race, but they're both benefiting from each other's run. I mean, how much more biblical can these scenes get from these men and thinking about Christianity? You and I have a race to run, and we'll talk about that. And I've got responsibilities to run. You've got responsibilities to run. And you may be running 3 strides ahead of me every 100 meters like Usain Bolt can, spiritually speaking. But I want to benefit from your run, and I want you to benefit from my run. And that's what I want us to talk about. When we think about these things, we're all in different places. And that's perfectly fine. And sometimes people want to give up. Tommy was telling me, I didn't get to see this 4x100 relay, but the guy ran, I guess, with a broken leg from the U.S. And he ran the race. You know, sometimes we get different burdens in our life, and we just want to quit off the littlest things. And you look at Oscar, and you think, man, there's no way I'm going to quit in life if he can do that. Now, it was a bummer, and you probably saw it when he finally got to the semifinals and he came in last in that semifinal run. But that was his goal. If you heard him before the Olympics, his goal was to make it to the semifinal. He knew where his limits were. He pushed and he ran the semifinal race. I mean, you talk about a goal, and Paul talks about what? What reason does Paul say he runs? They plugged him in.
Plugged him in.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know he did that. That's awesome. For their 4x100. What does Paul say he's running the spiritual race for? Yeah. Is Paul running for a piece of gold, silver, or bronze? Or does he make some parallel? He's running for the crown that's imperishable. You know, these athletes are running for things that are, you know, not maybe imperishable. Richards Ross, I think she's just running for America. She's running for herself. You know, just when you watch their stories, I just get pumped before the race. I'm thinking, man, she's got to win. You know, she's what she's done to get here, what she's worked through, and then there she was, just like the feeling of, oh, man, I made it to where I want to be. This lady's story was awesome. 2004, she was in the Olympics. 2008, she was in the Olympics. She didn't win, and she said, I'm not going to wait until I win. In 2012, as somewhat of a fitness person or whatever, I just think, how do you keep your body in ultimate condition for over really a 10-year period, maybe 12, depends on how you want to look at that, to just keep coming back and aging? As Christians, sometimes we age, you know? We should be getting like these people as we age is what I'm trying to get us to see. These people don't go down through the life of physical racing and say, well, I'm getting older, I better hang it up. Volleyball, the girls' volleyball team, 35 and 36 or 35 and 34, world competition winnings, you know, different places where we are, physically speaking. But I love seeing her come back and get her gold and just their demeanor. Some of them, it's just like, you're so happy for them. Other people like that guy, you know you'll never beat him and you never can, but you're like, oh, man, somebody's got to knock him down, you know. But it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, he is bad to the bone when it comes to running on the track. And I won't waste our time with that one there. Just kind of was the emotions of everything. You know, I got to where I wanted to get. I wanted to get the gold, and I've got it. And it shows that emotion. And then the question I have for you and for me, why, and just answer for yourself or answer for all of us in general, why are we running this spiritual race? To be with God, okay? The ultimate thing is to be with God. What else? Why else are we running the race? To finish, all right? We want to finish the race. What about some people? Who are you running the race for? Let me tell you who I'm running it for. You can put me in the Usain Bolt category here. I'm running for me. I want to go to heaven. Now, I don't want to have that complete selfishness that seems that he has. I'm running for me. What are some other people maybe that we're running the race for? Yeah, I mean, we're running it for our families. We're trying to set examples for our children that they can follow in our footsteps. What else can you think of? Friends? Okay. I mean, what about just in this building right here? Are we not running this for each other? Or maybe we need to be reminded of that, huh? Sometimes we forget. Things burden us down, and we kind of want to start dragging our feet through this race. Somebody's watching you. And maybe one of my kids or somebody else's kids, for some reason during this stage of their life, they're really watching you, you know. And they're tuned in and honed in on you, and you're wanting to kind of give up on God or make some ill decisions and think it has no effect because it's just your life and you get to do what you want to do. But that's really not the case. I understand that we stand before God individually, but we have responsibilities to run this race together. Yes, sir.
You know, in any of those athletics, like that especially, in the world, you know, there's just a select number who are born with the new thing.
That's right. Absolutely.
So there's no one that can't run in this race. So I'm in this race. You know, if you got the responsibility, you can.
That's right.
But if Bolt is turned to his head, I know, but that fast never ran, you know.
Exactly.
Well, we were created for this race. And so there's no one who.
Sorry about that. She owes me money. I'm glad to see that ringing. Exactly.
You can't run in this race.
That's right.
This is a race everybody is created to run.
This is a powerful point. Look in your Bibles in the book of Ecclesiastes about that very point that Tommy's making. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. About the race that we're running. I love this statement, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the what? The swift. This is a different kind of race, to Tommy's point. We look at these athletes, and I don't know if you do, but every now and then something will spark. I'm thinking, man, how could I ever get to where they are? You know, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, the reality kind of sets in. I look at the age and the calendar and think, whoa, that's not going to happen. But you think, man, I could, oh, I wish I could, you know. Oh, what could I do to get there? Probably not going to happen, you know, for me. Maybe some of these guys sitting in front of me, they could go after it. And I love the commercials where you see them promoting these kids. Who there's one right now, the little girl, she's got her phone and she's watching Richard Ross run. She listens to that time and she goes over to the sand pit and she marks in the sand 49.55. She's going to knock that out, you know. And I love seeing, I know some of that's role play, but there's some kid out there really doing that, and we've got to get motivation like that. We're running the greatest race we could ever run, and I guess what bothered me is I watched those events and I got so into it, it kind of gave me a little checks and balances, saying, "Well, wait a second, get excited about the race I'm running. I'm running something far better than what they're running, and I need to get serious about it." And I challenge you in the same manner. I'm not saying that you're where I am. Maybe you're completely focused. But if you ever catch yourself not as focused as you ought to be, use this as an opportunity to say, wait a second, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, this isn't something that I have to go hit the gym, hit the weights, and eat like some kind of machine and not enjoy any kind of fun food in my life. And, you know, those people, I haven't ordered a dessert in 4 years, you know. I said, man, they probably can't wait to eat pizza and ice cream or whatever. But that's what it takes. We're running something, to Tommy's point. God created us to run. He equipped us unto every good work. We have opportunity to obtain gold far beyond gold. I mean, it's more precious than anything that we could ever get a hold of. And all you have to do is spiritually and mentally give yourself to God, and you're in the race. And the victory is won. That's a great thing about our situation. We're not running and hoping, man, I hope I get through qualifying. Hope I can make it past semifinals and oh. Judgment's going to be a nightmare. Christ has won the battle for us. He's won the battle. He has overcome victory. Yeah, it bruised his heel, but he crushed the head of Satan. He destroyed him. It left a mark. I want that to be a point that we see. It was painful for Christ to overcome sin. And the way he did in the Bible makes that distinction. It was enmity between he and him, and he crushed his head. He has won the battle. Victory, we're already standing on the podium, as they talked about all these last 2 weeks. Oh, to stand on that middle podium, you know. And these people that get silver are such, you know, the mental talk about they just lost. No, they did a great job. For us, we have an unbelievable, guaranteed victory. If we want it. He goes on to say, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches of men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to. He's talking about some other things, but I wanted this idea to be seen there, that he's saying, you know, I realized Succeeding in life, as we look at these athletes, is a challenge. But in the race that we're running, God has made us in whose image? In His image. He has made us in His image. So for someone to say, oh, my life and my person, I just can't line up with God, they don't understand their creator. They don't understand their makeup. God made you, and God made me in such a way that you can be like Him. In the image of Him means to be like unto Him. We are made that way. Now, we water it down sometimes, and we lose focus, and we're the ones responsible for feeling like God is way up here, and I'm so far over here in sin, there's no way I can mesh with Him. That's not God's fault. That's not God's ill design, if you will. His divine design of mankind, of you and me, is that we be like unto Him. And the greatest part of His design is that He wants us to win. He wants us to be in victory standing. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't be that. I couldn't say that in confidence if we didn't know that He sent His Son. I mean, you have to look at God and say, He wants me to win. He wouldn't have made such a sacrifice. These athletes, they have to make the sacrifice. Spiritually speaking, yes, we have to make a sacrifice. But spiritually speaking, Christ has made the ultimate sacrifice. He has given His life so that you and I can be victors, if you will, eternally. And to benefit us, even secularly, and in our walk of life, Christ and God are with us throughout our life on earth. I mean, we have something to grab a hold of and look at and understand that we have opportunity to win this race. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And what I was going to say at the close of talking about those athletes and those pictures, some of them were running for a lot of different reasons. But really, I think spiritually speaking, we have the same thing. We need to run for ourselves. We need to run for each other. We need to run for the prize. We need to run for our family's sake. I think there's a lot of parallels, even though they were kind of a gamut across the spectrum of different reasons maybe as to why they were motivated to run. I think that when you look at them and take all those things into consideration, we have very much the same type of layout in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse, I put the wrong one. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7, look at verse 6. I'll back up. Let's just start in verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. So don't get lost in my conversation about Christ making us victors and assume that we're going to escape the judgment. We need to realize that, and you know that as believing people. But my point is, we're made pure and righteous through Christ. And we're going to face judgment. The living and the dead, His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. So here's Paul encouraging young Timothy to do his work. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. That was a key word I want us to talk about here in a minute. We have responsibilities before God to exhort one another and encourage one another. So yes, you need to run for me, even though you may not like that. Maybe you don't like me, and so I'm not going to do anything to benefit you. Well, you have a God-given responsibility to run for my benefit. And so do I. I like unto that responsibility, I have a God-given responsibility to run so that I can exhort you. And if we will both take our responsibility seriously, man, we'll have a bunch of hard-running Christian people here at the Concord Church of Christ benefiting from each other's run. And when we start to spark plug off of each other, watch out what we can do as God's people in a community with everybody firing on all cylinders. And when one's missing from me, I can look over at you and you're going at it. And I'm going to pick up and go. And we can do some things. And that's what we need to realize. This exhorting idea we'll talk about here in a minute. Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. So people, he says, are going to find somebody to tell them what they want to hear. And let's not be those people looking for that. Let's just say, what does God say? Like it or not, and do what He says. Like it or not, change what you thought. You're wrong. You know, God said this, and you thought that. Do what God says. Well, Tommy said this on Sunday. I don't like it. Well, is that what God said? Well, yeah, then do what God said. Let's don't blame Tommy for what God said. Don't get mad at me. Let's all say, forget looking for something that appeases me and makes me feel good. I'm going to get out here in this race. I'm going to follow the coach, and that's God in this particular race. And don't look for something that makes us feel good. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. I think about these athletes. What did they have to do to get that? I mean, those running people, I mean, those athletes, those ladies, seem like they have bricks for stomach muscles. I told my wife, I go, they have bricks, not stomach muscles. They've got like blocks of chunks of muscle. What do they do to get their bodies so tuned? They eat right. They exercise. They make good choices. I mean, you think of the Christian walk. You gotta eat right. You gotta chew on God's word. You gotta make the right choices. You gotta decide you want a spiritual victory, and you gotta look around and see that the other people you need to pull along in this race. All these things seem to be so tied in. Now, here's the passage I want us to see: be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And I realize he's talking really directly to Timothy there. He says in verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. What is Paul referencing here? What's about to happen in his life? Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing, right? And we're seeing that right here. We've got Anne fighting for her life, and we've seen it before. It's a real thing that life comes to a close on earth. But man, what a victorious death it is for those who are where they need to be with the Lord. Because really, it's just a physical piece that they get to be removed from. They get to go where we all want to be. And we hate to see someone fight that fight. But he's saying, listen, I'm at a point where the time, he goes on to say there, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew. Most people know when they're going to die. I don't know if I've told you this or not about Ray, but several months before Ray got bad sick, he called me and said, hey, I want you to ride with me down to Georgia. I said, well, okay, what for? He said, I need to take something down to my daughter that she left here. I said, well, can't we just ship it to her? I was like, it's not, you know. He said, yeah, but I just want you to ride with me. I was like, okay. And we went on that trip and came back, and I told my wife, I said, I think Ray's about to die. I said, he just wanted to talk, and he just encouraged me to do, and I could get emotional if I talked about some of those things. But he knew he was about to die. My grandfather, I remember the last time I saw him, he said to my dad, my dad said, we'll see you later, Pops. And he said, I don't know if you'll see me again. My dad said, don't talk like that. He said, I don't know if you'll see me again. That's the last time I saw him. People know when their bodies are coming to a close. Paul says, I'm about to get out of this physical body. But he's got some things to say. Think about this. Think about people who are dying. Don't go out griping and fussing and complaining about the staff. Encourage other Christians to run the race. I know it hurts and it's painful. Take a moment and plug in as you can going out in life to charge those beyond. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only. Sometimes we put these apostles in position to think, man, they're just some kind of superstar for God. They were great men for the Lord, but they're in the same race we're in. They have the same opportunity, and you have the same opportunity that they have. He says, I've finished this fight. The righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have what? Loved his appearing. What does that ring through in your mind when you hear that statement? Loved his appearing. Is it just simply the fact that, oh, I'm so glad Jesus came? Or is there something maybe that Paul's trying to get us to pick up in that statement? Yeah, his life, right? I mean, we have loved his appearing. We loved the life that Christ lived. We love the fact that Christ lived his life in such a way that he allows me to overcome sin because he gave his life on Calvary that we could be set free. It's not just, I'm glad Jesus came. Praise God for Jesus coming to earth. It means there's something that drives us to action about the understanding that we have loved his appearing. Finally, there is laid up for me the what in verse 8? What did it say there? The crown. And so then I ask, you know, the title, why, you know, who are you running for? Or why are you running? This is ultimately the answer. We're running so that we can obtain the crown of life. Has God promised that to us? A couple of us think he has. Has God promised that to us? Absolutely. Does God go null and void on his promises? No. Where is the shortcoming in an arrangement between mankind and God, if there ever is one? It's on our side. So if we run this race and we get before the judgment seat and it doesn't go the way we want it to go, if we have knowledge of his word, you and I cannot say, whoa, 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 no one gave me this information. I didn't understand. What happened here? We know who God is. We understand his perfection, his holiness, his awesomeness. We understand who God is. We know his plan. He sent his son. We can't go through life and act like, well, what happened here? If something goes awry in our eternal destination, it's not because God altered his plan. We've got that in written form. It's not some audio file that we have to try to remember. We can look at it. We can check out the documentation. Yes, sir.
This version says, and it's in context with what we're talking about on awards and what have you, running the race, you go and what have you. He says here, will award to me that day. It said give. It means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the award has a stronger meaning to me in context of talking about running the race.
That's right.
To award us.
That's right.
That gift.
Yeah. Will we have earned it? No. Now, this is kind of a tough question, and I don't know how I would answer it if I were you. Through Christ, maybe I'll preference it that way. Will we deserve it? Through Christ. Yeah, I think sometimes, and Tommy used to get in my ear, rightfully so, so they said, you say things that make it sound like you're so afraid you're not going to make it to heaven, you know. And I had to little check some balances on my end to say, you know what, I've got to have the confidence and relay the confidence to other believers, you will deserve it through Christ. Now, I can't earn it, and without Christ, I would never be able to say I'll deserve it. But if you faithfully give yourself to God, and you rely on his plan, you'll deserve to be a benefactor of his reward. God should grant it to you. You sacrificed your life. You gave yourself in submission to his plan. And sometimes we think, oh man, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it past the judgment seat. Well, that ought to change. I mean, we ought to understand. Now, if you're living some sin-filled life, you need to be careful about your confidence, and you need to straighten those things out. But through Jesus Christ, we will have the right to be with God only through Jesus Christ and through his blood. I want to make sure I'm not stating something that too much confidence on our side. But we have that through Christ. We can't earn it without him. That's the point I'm trying to make. We can't earn it without him. Paul says, I'm about to go down, Timothy, but I'm not going down in silence. I'm going to encourage you to go fight the fight. I have fought the good fight. Are some things worth fighting for? Yeah. Kobe gets that mixed up a little bit on what he thinks is worth fighting for with his brothers, and sometimes we have to have those conversations, and he'll hit his hand like, I'm going to get him. So, no, you're not going to get him on this. You know, Daddy will handle this. Jack. That's right. Yeah, today at group meeting they were asking for prayers, and he said, don't forget Sister Ann, you know. And I was glad to hear he's all by himself standing over there, and he realizes what's going on and is asking for her to pray. Some things are worth fighting for. And we understand that as a country. There's certain times, and I can remember when the Rocky movies came out. It was almost kind of a bad thing as a young kid, not fully understanding anything, but you almost had this hatred for Russia, the way those movies came out through politics and what was going on. But you just thought, man, we got to defeat, you know, the evil people. Well, there's some truth to that. You and I wouldn't be able to do what we're doing tonight if we just let everybody in every country come in and run us over and plow us down. We would let Christianity die down. Some things are worth fighting for in all kinds of avenues. But what I'm talking about, obviously, you realize where I'm going. Our faith, you better be fighting for it. There's no question. There's no question about, well, is it right to fight for that? Is that, it's worth fighting for. Those terms are positive terms that they're okay to use in the Christian fight. We've got to fight for our eternal salvation. Because, and I tell the campers this every year at the end of the week, just about, because we know that who is out there? Who is out there? Satan. He walks about like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, that's how the Bible depicts him. God gives us that warning. That's another thing that we can't say at the end of this race. I didn't know that there was such an enemy that was going to be such a bad. God puts it in writing. He's out there. He's lurking around. He's looking for people. He doesn't just snip at them. He wants to devour you and me and us if he can. He'd love to get in here and just take this whole work, the Concord Church of Christ, and just bust it all to pieces. Are we going to let him do that? We better not. Are we going to let him get in there and wreck our lives and take us out of the race to win the crown of life, which is an imperishable crown? We better not. We better not. We better understand those things are worth fighting for. Look in your Bibles, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And this is what I want to talk about just for a few minutes before we close, about our responsibilities to one another. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today." Listen to that statement again in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 3. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 14 and 15. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Verse 13, what's our responsibility to one another? Exhort one another. How often? Once or twice a year? First day of the week? Daily. It's a daily thing. Exhorting. There's all kinds of ways to exhort. One of the simplest ways to exhort, live your life for God and let me watch it. You know, that's just, it's on all the time. And I'm watching it all the time. Other things you can do, verbal statements, right? Another thing, you can embrace people, just touching people. Sometimes I've had things in my life here where people have come to me and just hugged me. When we were going through challenges of having a family, I'll never forget talking about Joel Sloan walked up to me. I guess he just didn't know what to say. Maybe he'd seen me carry it long enough, and he just approached me back there and just grabbed me and just hugged me. Man, I just wept like a baby. And I didn't know. I thought, man, what is going on? He didn't say anything. But just something about that embrace, it was just timely for what was going on in me. That was exhortation. It was nonverbal. We can say things directly to someone. You can say things secondary. You can talk to someone else about the benefit of someone else's walk, and it might get back to them in a positive rumor. Those are good to have. You know, sometimes we get rumors in a group of people, and they're not so positive. But when people start hearing other people commending their walk in life, there's all kinds of ways. Sometimes it can be soft things like that. Sometimes it has to be pointed and a little harsh. I'm trying to help Kobe. I've mentioned this over and over. He keeps saying he wants to be more fit. You know, he sees other kids and his shape's not the same. And I have to try to be careful with that subject. And so we were walking today, just walking. We have about a third mile track around our grass. I keep kind of mowed down around the field and stuff. And he wanted to quit, you know. And Carol was walking with us, and she said, you're being a little hard on him. I was like, he's got to be pushed, you know. And then finally she dropped off, and we finished our thing. Then when he got done, he was like, will you email that to Steve, our CrossFit guy, and tell him how far we went? You know what he needed? He needed some exhortation. And I wasn't screaming fierce things at him, but he just needed to be, if you want this to happen, son, you're going to just keep walking with Daddy. There's things as Christians, sometimes you might have to go to someone. Hey, Justin, I heard such and such about you. I'm not going to go talk to your mom and dad. I just wanted you to know what I heard. I want to get this corrected. It's not the right thing for the Lord. Go to him, and you can pointedly push people towards the Lord. There's all kinds of ways we can do it, and we're supposed to do it daily. And maybe if you and I step back and say, when's the last time that I exhorted someone? You might be ashamed of what that kind of looks like. And when's the last time I made an effort to exhort? We know we're supposed to search the scriptures daily, pray without ceasing, but this passage says we are to exhort one another daily. And with technology today, so many people, even among you, many of us are linked in and can see each other by email, Facebook, text, just the smallest things. You can use technology. It doesn't take all of your time, and you can fulfill God's responsibilities, God's righteous requirements of his people, that we exhort one another daily. And as I looked at these athletes and thinking, who did they train with? You know, they had to have somebody in their country or wherever they're from. They had to have somebody pushing them. There's somebody else, whether it's Blake, the guy there that's Usain Bolt's teammate, or there's got to be other guys that they train with. Somebody's pushing them to stay on the course. And look what happens to the outcome of those things. They have been successful. They have received the crown of life. Exhorting. What are other things that maybe I haven't listed, ways in which we can exhort? Or maybe I've exhausted that list. Right. It's just encouraging. Do you need encouragement?
Yeah.
Do you like encouragement? Man, I do. I mean, you may not think much of things you might say to the speaker, whether it be Tommy or myself or whoever's teaching your class. Sometimes I live on those. Somebody just, man, they appreciated what I did this week in my Bible class. You know, you may think you didn't do anything, maybe because we don't communicate that back well enough. Sometimes you're riding down the road and something goes bad in your week, but you think, you know what, brother or sister so-and-so liked what I said on Sunday. I'm doing all right. You know, it helps you get through the hard times. And just little things that sometimes we don't think are a big deal. You might carry somebody through. That time Joel hugged me, man, I was in the bottom of life for where I thought I was at. You know, that was so powerful. And there was another time I mentioned before that Wes Seminole came to me at one of the Bible studies in the mornings. And I guess same thing, about through all that stuff, about a year later, and he put his big old bear paws on my shoulders and squeezed me real hard. Thought he might fracture my shoulder bone up there, but he didn't fracture anything. And he just said, brother, I'm praying for you. That was four or five words, 20 seconds of his life. Man, that stayed in me for weeks and months through hard times. That exhorted me. That encouraged me. I needed that. We need that. As we're running this race, why would Paul use the words endurance if there wasn't some need for endurance? And why would he use these words of overcoming if there weren't challenges that we're going to face? He even says in one of these passages, endure hardships. Those things are coming. Some of these athletes, the decathletes, two guys, that's unbelievable to me. How do we got two guys at the top in the decathlon? The one guy had surgery, you know, 10 months before the Olympics. You talk about overcoming something. He had to get back, bounce back, recover, and get back in the groove of competing. Those things are going to happen in life. Hardships are going to come. The Bible tells us that. We need to understand that. We need to try to overcome them in a way that is positive to those around us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, and our time's about up. 1 Thessalonians 10 and verse 1 Thessalonians 2, sorry, and verse 10. It says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we what? Exhorted. Paul says we were trying. We had intentions. We were trying to exhort you. We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. I mentioned the other night at share night after they'd mentioned about the Sario's baby situation. I followed up with those comments about Kobe and the potential challenges and how he overcame those. Scott saw me a few days later in some business efforts, and he said, man, I appreciated what you said. Just something, it was comforting to him to think God answers prayer. There's ways that we can do the smallest things that we can help each other win this race and fight through this race. Every one of you, as a father does his own children, the last lap today, you know, I'm trying to make Kobe tough, you know. And you know what he did the last two-thirds of the last lap? He came up and he grabbed my hand. You know, he just held my hand all the way around. You know, and I wanted to let go because I'm thinking I'm trying to make him tough. But you know what he needed? He just wanted somebody to go with him and finish that little track. We need to do those things daily. And it was just, and we didn't really talk much. He just walked, and I'm going to cry my face out in front of you guys thinking about him. But just the Father and the Son, you know, that there's an example used biblically that we should see that's expected of God. I mean, God expects that. You know, why would he make this parallel? Just like a father does it, you don't drive him and beat him and shove him off course. He says, just like a father would his son, you exhort him, you encourage him. That's a biblical assumption that we see here. He says in verse 12 that you would what? Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And he goes on, there's some great statements here. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. I won't go any further. Our time is up really for us to get these young kids out of their class back there. But I just wanted to challenge me and you to reevaluate this race that we're running and to evaluate why it is that we're running it. Ultimately, it's for the crown. And that has very much to do with you. But secondary to that is the requirements that we have one to another, is that we have this responsibility to run. You're not running just for you. And maybe you're at a down spot in your life and you're thinking, man, I've been kind of jogging at this race. Well, it's a long race, and maybe you don't want to sprint yourself out and wear out. But if you don't want to run for you today or maybe tomorrow, think about me or think about somebody sitting beside you. I'm looking and needing and looking for leaning on people who are running this race. And we need to remember that we're running it for the crown of glory. But we have a responsibility to go at this thing. Even though it's an individual race, we have collective responsibilities as God's family. And then as God's church, we have a responsibility as individuals to one another. Then as the church, we have responsibilities to make sure we're doing what God would have us to do. The elders are leading us in those efforts. But we have the responsibility to fulfill the church's needs so that we can all finish the race and have heaven as our home. Thank you very much for your time, and may we all run the race to bring glory and honor to the name of God. Thank you.